This is a Collider.com audio interview.
I think I see you more than...
I know! I've seen you more than I've seen Martin Starr lately.
Yeah, but that's a good thing.
I don't know about that.
Okay, when they told you that you, we want you for the blog...
Brainless Mass...
Yeah,
I said
brainless.
Perfect.
I mean,
written
you,
for me.
Were you an old 50s movie fan? Had you like freaked out over Steve McQueen and the Blob or anything? Or
I mean, I was a fan of those movies. I wouldn't say I was like insane for like the B horror movies of the 50s. I more kind of liked, you know, the 80s. You know, Dead Alive. And, you know, Army of Darkness and that kind of stuff. But I was always a fan of kind of the, you know, monster movie genre, if you will. And, yeah, I was thrilled. But more than anything, it was just that wasn't what got me to do it. I mean, it was just the story seemed really funny and the directors were really cool. And it just seemed like a really cool idea. I mean, monsters versus aliens. I was like, does it live up to its title? And they said, yes. And so I said, oh, awesome, I'll do it.
What would you really do if you were hanging out with a 49-foot woman?
I don't know. Something dirty. I'll tell you that right now. Something real dirty. that Jeffrey Katzenberg will get mad at me for saying, but I'll leave it at that.
How do you feel about a world with Stephen Colbert as president?
I think it was great. I thought that was one of the funniest ideas of the whole thing. I mean, it's a great, and it's a funny character, too. He was perfect. It's one of those things where you're just like, of course, Stephen Colbert is president. One day. Hope.
When you're recording a voiceover, they shoot you kind of the face, so that you see yourself.
I couldn't. They do actually. They do record your face, and they say that they use some of your kind of some of the mannerisms. They say I honestly don't remember. Hey, I did that hand gesture 6 months ago in Burbank. I don't remember necessarily what hand gestures they use specifically, but they claim that they use the little video of us to inspire the animation. But I was like, I'm sure the animators will come up with something way funnier than what I'm doing, you know? I mean, I'm just kind of talking into a microphone. And they've done amazing stuff. I mean, it's incredible with how the character moves and all that. I think it's so much fun to watch.
Do you have played before main characters? Do you have lent your voice for main characters? My first question is, how do you feel playing Bob? And did the directors let you to... change something about the character to put your sign on the character?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it just, they describe the character as this blob with no brain, and I thought, that's funny, you know? That seems like there's a lot of comedic potential there, and they really encouraged me to kind of help develop the character with them and to improvise and to, add whatever I wanted, really, because... that's what's actually great about the way these movies are done. It's just like you alone in a room with a microphone, and there's no other actors, there's no real crew, there's no lighting guy, there's no DP, it's just you and the microphone. So, I mean, you can spend an hour doing one line if you want. I mean, you can just come up with a million different things, and they would encourage it, and really, they use a lot of it, which is always nice, you know, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a very performance-focused process, which is... sounds strange for movies that are so technically impressive ultimately, but when you're making them, it's very performance focused, and it's just you and the performance, really. So I would look forward to doing this every time. It was really fun. Like, they would encourage me to kind of make stuff up and have fun with it, and I feel like we really kind of found the character as we slowly recorded it.
So you, too, did not ever get in a room with another actor? And
no, I've literally never seen... I've never seen Reese Witherspoon in real life.
So do, like, kids recognize your voice? I mean... because you have such a distinct voice that...
I don't talk to kids, so no. Want some candy? It's Mantis.
I have to ask you the prerequisite Green Hornet question of the day.
Yeah? Good.
No choice. No, but is there going to be anything in it about him that... I don't know if this has been asked before, but he's supposedly the grandnephew of the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, John Reed being the Lone Ranger. We had written in like some kind of subtle reference. I honestly don't remember if it's currently still in there. I think mostly because a different studio owns the Lone Ranger that owns the Green Hornet. Like Jerry Bruckheimer owns the Lone Ranger or something weird like that. So, but in our script, that's really not a significant plot point in any way. I mean, maybe we'll say the line, and if they let us keep it, we'll keep it. If they don't, we won't, you know. But honestly, I don't even know if it's in the script anymore.
I have a few things, but I'll start with the update on Observe and Report.
Yeah.
The test screening process has been going on.
Yes.
Have you heard if Warner Brothers is going to release the film the way you guys did it? Because I know that you guys have tested it a number of times. And has the test screening process, have the scores been going up? Have they been staying the same?
We did one version at the request of the studio that was slightly more... I don't know if neutered is the word, but toned down at times. And it actually dropped in its score. So the final version, the movie's almost done now, and the final version is, I mean, pretty much exactly how we would want it. I can't think of one thing, really, that they made us change that we didn't want to. I mean, I have not seen... Jody's made some changes just... I actually might go in tomorrow and record some more voiceover stuff for one part of it, but... Yeah, it's. I mean, it's. They've let us do it. It's crazy. It's happened.
There was a lot of talk about it. Maybe not making. Well, a lot of internet chatter.
Yeah.
Maybe being neutered a little bit.
Yeah, unneutered, completely unneutered. Exactly what we would want. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but for me, when I watch it, I can't believe it. I mean, it's like, again, it's a Marvel. To me, it's a Marvel that a studio let us make that movie, and they really like it. To their credit, like they really. Like the movie. They can appreciate it, you know? I mean, it plays well. You watch it in a theater and, like, people go crazy. I mean, it's an insane movie. People, you literally see people looking at each other being like, what the hell? How did they get away with this? And that's what I love, you know? And yeah, they're letting us do it. It will be an uncompromised version.
If I can also ask, you've been shooting Funny People with Judd Apatow.
Yep.
Have you wrapped on that, and how was that process as compared to some of his other films that you've worked with him on?
We've not wrapped. We shoot till kind of halfway through January, and it's been great. It's been a lot of fun. It's Janosz adds an entirely different element to the filming process as the DP. He's just, he's a real presence on set, and the way he films things actually makes it the entire process different in a lot of ways. You know, he is able to set up multiple cameras, 3 to 5 cameras at times on scenes, so we can really improvise to a level that we haven't been able to in the past, and it looks beautiful in a way that it never has before, really. And we've been shooting stand-up comedy, you know, in actual clubs with real audiences, with 5 cameras, with 2,000 foot rolls a film on them, and we film them as though they're actual performances. We tell them to laugh if it's funny and not laugh if it's not funny, and it looks incredible, and it's and to me that stuff is what seems truly kind of new, and to actually like have the actors performing with actual stand-up comics and actual audiences, and to use it in the movie as part of the narrative is exciting to me. I mean, that's the stuff that I think is really cool.
You guys play stand-up comics. Have you guys incorporated or gotten any real stand-up comics to come into the movie and have scenes with you guys, people that the audience would recognize?
I'm not going to say who, but I can say yes, there's a very large amount of actual stand-up comics in the movie. And a lot of them have performed for us in the movie. I mean, when we do these comedy nights, we don't just have us perform. We invite, we'll have an MC, we'll do it like it's a comedy show. We have an MC, we have opening acts, we invite people we know to come and just perform. I mean, we film all of it, but we tell them, you know, maybe we'll use some, maybe we'll use, you know, a joke, maybe won't use any of it, we'll just put it on the DVD. But we like to warm up the audiences like it's an actual comedy club, you know, so their reactions are real. So when a joke bombs, they react exactly like a joke is bombing, and when a joke kills, you really feel like that we earned the laugh, and we're not just inserting it, you know, and it looks like a real comedy performance. What I kept saying to Joe is people are so familiar with seeing comedy filmed like on HBO and Comedy Central that like they'll be able to tell if it's fake. They'll be able to tell if we're making people laugh when they're not actually laughing and all that. So when I watch it, I mean, it looks like any comedy you've seen, but Janusz Kaminski filmed it, so it looks a lot better.
Dick is listed as himself.
Yeah, he came in. IMDb cheated us out of that reveal. Yes, Andy Dick is great in the movie, actually.
I have one last question, but it's a Green Hornet question, and I wanted to know how. When are you guys actually starting to film it, and how has Stephen Chow's and you and Evan been working together to fine-tune to the vision that will you guys all share together?
We should ultimately start shooting in May, and the process has been it's been very collaborative. It's been very good. He's given us a lot of ideas. His English is. You know, we keep saying when we all come out of this, we will be great communicators. and he's made great strides, I will say, and it presents its own challenges at times, but we get along really, really well, and we really, I mean, but we're really just starting the process. I mean, very little has actually been done. I mean, he hasn't even come here full-time from Hong Kong yet. So, I mean, we're actually in the very preliminary stages right now, but everything's been going good so far.
I got to ask about this 3D. Have you seen some of your scenes in 3D?
Yeah.
And what do you think of how it looks?
It looks amazing. It's crazy. I mean, it looks like you can reach out and touch it. And I mean, it looks it's incredible. I mean, it looks so good that you almost don't even think about it. You just kind of feel like you're watching. I mean, in a good way. I mean, I feel like it's almost not gimmicky anymore. It's just immersive. You know, it doesn't feel like. You know, there. You know, there's no. You know, people pointing at you and little things just flying. You know, it's just kind of is a part of the movie going experience. It seems like it's very organic to the movie and but I'm you know I think like. We'll see what happens with 3D. I think, you know, the most important thing is that it's a good movie, and, you know, 3D I don't think will save a bad one, so it looks cool. Someone who just likes looking at cool shit, it's awesome.
How do you feel wearing glasses? I do too. Wearing those things over your glasses. Or can you see without glasses?
No, yeah, it depends, you know, the different theaters have different 3D glasses. I actually don't know if we have actually seen the 3D glasses that probably will be used by the time this movie comes out, so who knows?
Okay.
Oh, it's opening to the room.
When you were recording the boy, did you make a blog? Is like fluffy. It doesn't have like arms. And how did you when you were recording the voice? How did you?
I didn't do anything. No, I didn't do anything. Like, I have no process. I have no method, way of doing it. I would just think what is funny things to say. Yeah, I mean, I honestly put very little thought into the physical aspect of it. I mean, they have animators. I mean, I know animators. I know it's their job to literally sit there and think of how people can move funny and how things can create and exist in this world in a humorous way. So I felt no pressure to add to that in any way. You know.
Other animated family movies to see what your parameters of bad living was, or
no? I just knew if it was too much, they wouldn't. I mean, I've seen them all though, pretty much. I mean, yeah. I mean, I not all of them, but I go see like the. I haven't seen Madagascar 2, but I've seen the first one. But I mean, yeah. I mean, I generally see these CG movies as they come out. Pretty much every CG movie, I feel like I've seen eventually. You know.
Could you talk about your 3D movie experience in the past?
I've always loved 3D movies, you know. I remember I saw Chicken Little in 3D when it came out, and that was like the first one they really like pushed. It's like that was the first CG 3D movie, I think, really. And
you went to theater, and
I went to the theater and saw it. I got the green glasses. I still have them somewhere, probably, because I don't throw shit out. But yeah, me and Evan went. We still talk about it. We loved it, and I brought him to the DreamWorks last week. And we watched a bunch of this in 3D, and he couldn't believe it either. So yeah, I mean it's cool.
What draws you to like the animated movies? Because what you do most of the time is like you know the raunchy stuff that I love. But
yeah,
I mean not that I don't love.
I mean I like these movies. I mean I actually go see them, you know. And my only rule is would I go see it? You know, would I be psyched to go see it? And I know, like this movie in particular. Like if I saw that, I'd be like, man, I'd like to be in a movie like that. That looks awesome. So that's really it. I go see these movies, you know. Yeah.
Last question.
I was going to say, are you surprised at the success? I think you were the biggest Weinstein movie film of, you know...
Ever, maybe.
They put the title porno in all their films.
I think they should. I don't know. I mean, I think I'm happy. I mean, it's amazing that a movie with the word porno in it made anybody at all, I'll be totally honest. Yeah, I mean, I think you know, it turned out good. I honestly don't know how much money they spend promoting these things. I don't know how the end financial situation is. It seems like a good number to me, you know. And no one, you know, I was about to say no one lose their job, but 11% of Weinstein just got fired, so I take that back. But I had a good experience. I think it's a good movie.
I actually have one other thing. You said you might start filming in May.
Yeah.
Do you already think in the back of your mind, with Comic-Con being such a presence nowadays, do you already think, like, shit, maybe we might want to get something?
Oh, yeah. I'm literally having that conversation this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you think there's anything that you... So you think that the fans can look forward to something?
I hope so. I mean, yeah, ideally. I mean, I love Comic-Con is my favorite, like, event of the year. Like, it's more fun to me than our movie premieres, than, like, anything. I mean, I love Comic-Con. Like, all of our friends come down for it, and we just have a really good time. I mean, it's always a lot of fun. So, yeah, I mean, I would love nothing more than to be able to show something at Comic-Con. I mean, who knows if... I've not had one conversation with the studio about this, but me as a person, I would love to. Give the people what they want. And you can blame Sony if they don't. Thank you, guys.